Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Good runners train to win their races, but for believers, the training for life's race includes lessons in how to die. Some modern-day martyrs gave their lives during the oppression in Nazi Germany, and these people can show us how to die faithful to Christ. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a message on the Third Reich and the blood of the martyrs. We're in Revelation chapter 2, hearing the words of Christ to the church in Smyrna.
We want to study today not only a theology of martyrdom, but a theology of suffering. And I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, where we have the story of the church at Smyrna. That very name, Smyrna, has in it the word myrrh, which was a spice that was used, as you know, oftentimes, and it had a very beautiful smell connected with it. The bark of a certain tree was taken and crushed, and it had a most pleasant aroma. Myrrh, used oftentimes even to embalm bodies, but myrrh, symbolic of suffering. And the church in Smyrna knew all about it. It was dangerous to be a Christian at Smyrna. The reason is because this town competed with many others to build a temple to Tiberius, and there was a bust of Caesar, and everyone was expected to take some incense to burn it and to acknowledge Caesar as Lord. And of course, most of the Christians didn't do that, and they paid for that severely through suffering. We pick up the text, chapter 2, verse 8. Jesus is writing a letter to the church at Smyrna. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life, he says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy of those who are Jews and say they are Jews but are not, and they are from the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Let's pass through this passage of Scripture rather quickly, just noting some of the characteristics of this suffering church. What does Jesus say about them? First of all, he says, I know your poverty. Smyrna was a very cosmopolitan city with lots of business and industry. Why were the Christians so poor? Well, it's because they couldn't cheat like others, and therefore they missed out on some of the fat profits. But more importantly than that, there were those within the city who wouldn't do business with them. They were ostracized, they were spoken against, and they were poor because they loved Jesus. Let us never forget that. There are people today who are poor because they love Jesus. Jesus said, I know your poverty. I also know that you are experiencing slander. Notice what the text of Scripture says here. Those who say that they are Jews, but they are blaspheming. You need to understand that there were Jews who were exempt from the need to worship Caesar. A special dispensation was given to them. And so they used this freedom to harass the Christians, to tattle on them, to make up lies about them. And Jesus said that these Jews are really from the synagogue of Satan. What a strong term. But the Christians had to endure the grief. They had to put up with the harassment. They had to put up with all of the things that were said about them that were so completely untrue, and they had to endure those lies. Jesus said, I know that you are enduring that. Then notice prison. He says, the devil will cast some of you into prison. And the prisons in those days were very different from the prisons that we have today. They didn't get three meals in prison, perhaps a slice of bread from time to time and a cup of water. very messy and dirty and smelly. And yet you look at the history of the church and you discover that prisons in Caesarea and Jerusalem and Philippi and elsewhere, those dirty places were sanctified by the presence of believing Christians who were there and who prayed and who stayed there, and many of them died in those messy places. Jesus said the devil is going to cast some of you into prison. And next, notice, be faithful unto death. Some of you will die, and some did. In the history of the church, there's a man by the name of Polycarp who was the bishop of the church in Smyrna. In 155, he became a very famous martyr. At the age of 86, he was asked to deny Christ, and he said, I cannot deny him. 86 years he has been faithful to me. I cannot now be unfaithful to him. So what happened is they brought him to the place of execution. They were going to burn him, and they thought that they would have to tie him to some wood. But he told them that that was unnecessary because he said, I'm not going to run away. I will have the grace to die here. And he made a very famous speech in which he said, you threaten me with fire that burns for a short time, for you do not know that the fire that awaits the wicked is coming to you. Why are you waiting? Come, do what you will with me. And he died. So Jesus is saying to this church, behold, some of you are going to really suffer. Now, what I'd like to do in the next few moments that are left to me is to give you five characteristics of Christ. Because you see, what Jesus does is he becomes the hub of our suffering. When we begin to suffer, he becomes the center of it all. Everything begins to point to him, and he makes sense out of what we are experiencing. And the outline that I have all today happens, just like Moses, or rather Aaron, said that he threw the gold into the furnace and out came a golden calf. In the very same way, I just threw some words together and they all began with a letter P. And you'll notice that they are there in your outline that is published in your bulletin. Let's go. Number one, the presence of Christ. Notice in the text, I know your tribulation and your poverty. I know it. Your ways are not hidden from me. I understand what you are going through. There is no detail of your pain that escapes my notice. I know. And I say to you today who are going through a trial, it may not be martyrdom. In fact, not a one of us who is here today has been martyred. That's a requirement, actually, to come to Moody Church. But God knows your suffering. You've heard me say it before that when Stephen was stoned, the first Christian martyr, throughout the whole New Testament, you find that Jesus is always seated at the right hand of God the Father. This is the only time when it says he was standing at the right hand of God the Father. As Stephen had the privilege of looking into heaven, he saw Christ awaiting him. And it's almost as if Jesus was saying, be faithful, Stephen, hang in, soon we will be together, but be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. How different trials look from heaven. You know, I can't help but think of it, of all those confessing pastors who originally opposed Hitler and then in the end swore allegiance to him. I can't help but think how different it all would have looked if they had seen their trial from the standpoint of heaven. Many of them probably were true Christians. Many of them were not true Christians. But either way, from the standpoint of eternity, how different our trials look. And Jesus is saying to a church that is suffering, I know what you're going through. Be faithful unto death. And when that happens, I will be there to meet you on the other side. I know the presence of Christ. Secondly, notice the power of Christ. Verse 10. Behold, the devil is going to throw you, some of you, into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. What an explosive text. First of all, I want you to notice that Christ's power controls the source of the suffering. And the source of the suffering is the devil. You know, there is a teaching today that we as Christians never have to encounter the devil. We never have to accept anything that comes to us from Satan, because after all, we have triumphed in Christ. Well, we have triumphed in Christ, and we need not accept anything from Satan when it is sinful, when it is a temptation, when it is an addiction. Over that, we are victorious in Christ, though accepting that victory is oftentimes a tremendous struggle. But hear carefully. There are many trials that come to us from the devil. But though they come to us and the immediate cause is Satan, the ultimate cause is God. And God controls the devil and says, thus far and no farther. Stop here. The book of Job is a good example of that. And when Paul had his thorn in the flesh, it was a messenger of Satan. Here is an evil being who seeks my destruction, and God uses that evil being not to destroy me, but to refine me. And that's why Luther has said that the devil even is God's devil. Christ controls the suffering. Notice that he not only controls the source of the suffering, but he even controls its extent. He says you will suffer 10 days. We don't know how to interpret that. Does it mean 10 literal days? That's possible. Does it mean 10 eras of persecution, as some people interpret it? I do not know, but this much I do know. However we interpret it, it is Jesus who prescribes the time limit. You will suffer 10 days, and all the hosts of hell and all the forces of wickedness in the world cannot stretch it into 11 if I say that the length of time is 10. My dear friend, today, when you are going through that kiln, the furnace of affliction, Jesus Christ not only has his hand on the thermostat, but he also has his hand on the timer, and he controls both. And he is a part of it because he is all-powerful.
If only the church in Nazi Germany had learned that lesson. They were suffering terribly, but even that suffering was under the hand of God. I've written a book entitled Hitler's Cross, and I wrote it to help us to understand what happened in Nazi Germany, the lessons that we learn for ourselves, but also so that we might be strengthened and, looking back, you and I might be able to say that we were faithful to the end. The title of the book is Hitler's Cross, How the Cross Was Used to Promote the Nazi Agenda. I think that this resource will be of tremendous help and encouragement to you.
Yes, Jesus has his hand on the thermostat of your furnace of affliction. Next time on Running to Win, the conclusion of a moving series of lessons from the Bible and the lives of the martyrs during the Nazi period in Germany. Erwin Lutzer has authored a compelling book, Hitler's Cross. It traces the path of the broken cross of the swastika, pointing us to parallels between that time and ours. This book will be sent with our thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.